You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This morning, we are lucky enough to welcome Nigel Robertson, who is the president of the Auckland Folk Festival, and Finn McLennan-Elliott. And Finn, what's your involvement with the Auckland Folk Festival?
I'm almost the new blood in the last couple of years on our committee. And
very welcome.
I kind of run our programming and guest subcommittees, as they were.
Brilliant.
So I'm heavily involved in selecting our guests and sort of organizing how we put together a program that encompasses a wide range of musicians from international and local.
Awesome.
Plus I seem to put my hand up for quite a few different things, which can make for
hasn't
a very
learned
busy
how to say no yet.
Yeah, it makes for a very, very busy few months to the end of the year, but
so
pretty exciting.
Nigel, we were talking a little bit before about what is folk music. I think it would be really interesting for you to kind of give us a bit of insight into what it is or what it is to you.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, how long have you got? I know we've got 4 minutes, so it's going to have to be the presentation. I was thinking about this and thinking it's sort of a bit like religion. It's kind of personal. What does it mean to each individual personally? And people think of folk music as being traditionally the sort of the traditional music of Britain and America, perhaps. So you've got the Celtic stuff, you've got the English folk singers, you've got the protest movement, you've got Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie and Bob Dylan in America. So that's what folk means to most people, probably. Mm. But within that, there's so many different sort of denominations, a bit like religion. You know, there's progressive folk, there's electric folk, there's all sorts of folk revivals going on here, there and everywhere. So it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But I think of it as the music of communities.
Cool.
So it doesn't matter where the community is, they have music. Almost every community and culture in the world has music. And it has had music for a very long time. And that music often relates and evolves with dance. So music and dance go together. And they're a way of... It's probably the original dating app, you know. It was, you know, 2,000 years ago, it would be gather at the big mountain at the next full moon and we'll have a bit of stomping on the ground and dancing, you know.
Yeah.
You check out the landscape and who's around, you know. So it's been around for a very, very long time. So we're trying to take it out to that sort of more world view.
Awesome. And so what can we expect at the Auckland Folk Festival, which is happening on the anniversary weekend?
Yeah.
There's lots of different people that are going to be playing. Have you got some preference to who are you like really excited to be seeing this year?
Yeah, I mean, the last few years have been a bit of we're sort of moving in a new direction a little bit, where we're encompassing new strands of that religion, of folk. But we're really excited to have Don McGlashan playing this year. He's going to be playing in his trio form.
Fantastic.
Alongside a fiddle and an electric guitar, which is exciting. And then also one of the really cool things about the festivals, we have workshops with a lot of our main guests. So they will sit down and do a songwriting workshop on how they write their songs, or a fiddle workshop if they're a fiddle player, or a guitar workshop, or a bouzouki workshop, as we have one of our guests is playing an instrument called a bouzouki. And
do you know what a bouzouki is?
Yeah.
What is a bouzouki?
It looks like a big mandolin. It was one of the really important instruments in Irish, particularly Irish, but also Scottish traditional music.
Cool.
It's originally a Greek instrument, Greek mainly, and it's a round back instrument with four paired strings like a big mandolin.
Brilliant.
But it was brought back by Donald Lunny and Andy Irvine from their trips in Europe in the early 70s, brought back to Ireland because it had a fabulous sound for backing Irish traditional music. So they produced flatback bouzoukis, which is what the Irish guys play pretty much, and they've gone on to be an absolute mainstay of the Irish tradition.
Oh, excellent. I'll have to look it up and have a little listen to how it sounds.
Fantastic.
We've got Don McGlashan, and he'll be doing a little sit-down interview workshop alongside, I think Nigel will be hosting that. And then we've also got Adam McGrath from the Eastern coming up to do a solo show, which is very exciting. Alongside our two international acts this year are Four Winds, who we're going to play a track from at the end, and a British traditional singer called Kirsty Bromley.
Now, does Kirsty Bromley do some dancing as well?
She does. Is it clog?
English traditional
dancing.
Yeah. So within the folk festival, will there be dancing?
Yeah, there
too?
Are. Yeah. There are dance workshops, and there's a wide range of dance actually. There's Euro Gypsy.
Wow.
There's Chilean. There's some clog dancing, both Welsh clog, which is there's a guy coming who does Welsh clog dancing. So there's all sorts of original forms of dance and around, plus the usual sort of Irish set dancing and Scottish dancing and all sorts of stuff. So
great.
And we're bringing a Morris dancing troupe over from Australia.
Wow.
Well, here to play at the festival. So
is there a strong folk music scene in Auckland or a folk music community?
Well, it is. It's kind of flies under the radar, and I heard the festival described the other day as the best musical secret in Auckland. So get out to an anniversary weekend.
Yeah.
It's there. It's not, the folk music scene isn't enormous in New Zealand. You know, the country music scene is much bigger.
Mm.
But Australia has a very strong folk music scene, and there's I think it's growing, the folk music scene in Auckland, and there's a lot of young people playing some fabulous music and singing some great songs.
I've been working with the folk music scene for the last few years, and I'd say that it's growing just in New Zealand at the moment. I mean, we've got people like Nadia Reid and Aldous Harding and Marlon, obviously, sort of slightly more on the countryside of things, who are starting to take over, you know, off to Aussie and the UK and things like that. So I think the folk genre is starting to be quite an in thing at the moment, which is, as Nigel said, great for a lot of these folk bands that have been playing and are really, really good and just sort of need that
boost.
Space to be show themselves.
The main thing is it's a living culture.
Yeah.
And it goes through lulls, and it went through a bit of a lull, but it's definitely on the up now, and it's really sort of it's great to see teenagers and 20 somethings playing fantastic traditional music and actually composing great songs.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like a fantastic festival. It's going to be on the 27th till the 30th of January, so it's over a couple of days.
Anniversary weekend. Starts on the Friday night, finishes on very late on the Sunday night.
Brilliant.
Lots of stuff on.
Yeah, thank you so much, Nigel and Finn, for popping in this morning. And we are going to play a track. Who are we going to be playing?
This is a track from the band Four Winds, who are one of the really sort of top-of-the-line young Irish bands who are coming to play at our festival. The track is called The Ludlow Massacre, and it's a classic illustration of folk music, because it's a Woody Guthrie song that commemorated kept the memory alive of a little-known massacre in Colorado in 1914, where miners were basically killed by the militia during an industrial dispute, and that was the basis of a whole lot of folk music and certainly in the 20th century. So we've got a workers versus bosses tragedy in 1914, written by Woody Guthrie, written about by Woody Guthrie in 1944, I think, and now reprised by a young Irish band 100 years later.
Wow.
That's folk music. That's
that
is it for me.
Brilliant. Let's have a listen to it. Thank you so much for
both of
you coming in this morning.
It was early springtime and the fight was on. You drove us miners out of our homes, out of the homes that the company owned, into the tents in Little Ludlow. We were worried bad about our children. State troopers guarded the national lines. Every once in a while a bullet would fly and kick up gravel all round our feet. We were so afraid that you'd kill our children. We dug a hole that was 10 foot deep, and we brought the children the pregnant woman down inside the hole to sleep. It was late that night, you soldiers waited till us miners, we were asleep, and you gathered round and soaked our tents in kerosene. You struck a match and the blaze had started. You pulled the trigger on your Gatling guns, made a run for the children, but the firewall stopped me, and 13 children died from their guns. I carried my blanket to a wire fence corner, watched the fire till the blaze died down. I helped some people, drank their belongings, while your bullets killed us all around. You should have seen the looks on the faces of the men and women that very day, as you stood around to preach the sermon and lay the bodies of the dead away. So we phoned up the governor to call out the president, asked him call off the National Guard. But the National Guard belonged to the governor. I guess he didn't try very hard. So the women from Trinidad.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.